current culture. There's always a fight about something, right? Today we're going to hear words in Scripture from Acts 5, 27 to 32. And hopefully we'll see how this system and this fight affects us. Let's read this together. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." Okay, that's it. Let's go. I know that you took time to get ready this morning, so I have some more, but we'll continue. And they continue, "The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. And God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who
obey him."
Blessed be the word of the Lord. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you again for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to gather. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, for your presence in this place, for your presence in our lives, for inspiring us, for motivating us, for staying with us through this journey of faith and life. In Jesus we pray, amen and amen. So we go from the mountain, right? Those who have been here in the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about mountain experiences, right? And being with the Lord in those high places, and how that shapes us, how that leads us as a group of believers. But as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, mountain experiences are not to experience forever, right? We must go down to the valley, right? We must descend from the mountain. And that's the nature of those experiences. Sometimes we're up there, but then it ends. And we must face the reality of life. And we know this from the Transfiguration event. Remember that? When Jesus brings the guys to the mountain, and then he transforms and transfigures in front of them, and then there's these two figures, right?
Moses
and
Elijah.
Yeah, I get confused with Elijah and Elijah. I don't know. But they were there, right? And remember what Peter said, right? He said, oh, let's camp out here. Hey, let's stay. This is just great. And I wish I could just continue just to be here in your presence, in the presence of this great event, and just stare at you forever. Mm-hmm. Right? And the answer was, nope, none of that. Still got work to do. So no matter how inspiring it is, no matter how fulfilling it is, no one can stay up in that place. Because eventually someone must follow through with the plan, right? Eventually someone must answer what has happened there. And that's, one way of looking at the book of Acts. The book of Acts basically is a coming down from the mountain, right? It's a coming down from an experience that was special and unique, and then facing the world. And facing the world in a different way, not just as, you know, another day in our lives, but as the follow-up to the action plan. And we saw last week on our text in the first chapter of Acts that there was a shift, right? There was a shift in the role of the disciples when they encountered Jesus there in the mountain. And that role was not dependent on following that physical representation of God in Christ. They were still going to follow his teachings and command, but now they were going to have to deal with the future task at hand, with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to sit on this just for a second, because I think this is really important. It wasn't because of their preparation, and it wasn't because of their skill set that they were going to accomplish what they're going to accomplish. Are you with me? It wasn't preparation, it wasn't prowess. They were not going to rely only on what they learned for 3 years walking with Jesus, right? Because sometimes we think that if we fill our heads with knowledge, then we'll be set, correct? All right, yes, that was a question. Correct? You can say no if you want to. It's all right. Sometimes we think that knowledge is the key. But here they were going to be challenged to do things that were beyond their awareness, beyond their preparation, beyond their skills, and even beyond themselves. It was going to be a new experience. And in this role, they were going to lead other people to Christ. Right? Yes. Before they were following, remember last week? Before they were following, they had that down. Oh yeah, there's Jesus. Let's go, right? But now they were going to lead. Now, in your life of discipleship, I am sure you have encountered the challenge. And now what, right? And now what? What happens now? When I have had this encounter with Jesus, when I have followed Jesus for all this time, when I have had these issues in my life and in my heart, now what? Now that wasn't made clear to the disciples, but through the journey, the disciples found themselves in a community. And the same thing happens to us, right? Through the journey of faith, we find ourselves in a community. And a community which is hopefully supported us. A community who has sustained us, who has provided us with the food that we need. And how we figure out this journey of life. Now, there's always that question about purpose, right? And usually the question is, like, is it about me? How do I benefit, right? What's in it for me? We've heard this before, right? What's in it for me? That's our world today, our culture. What is in it for me? Because I am the center of the world. So is this what the mission is? Is this what the purpose of Jesus as he was sending the disciples forward was? Or is this about self-fulfillment? and self-awareness. You know, and how do I grow? How do I create? How do I develop? And how do I find purpose in this world? Now, again, you've already heard me say that it is not about you, although it is, right? It's not about you, although it is. Because the thing is that we sometimes focus so much on ourselves that we forget that there is a purpose beyond ourselves, correct?
Right.
There is a purpose beyond us. If it was just about me, then things would be solved easily. Right? Give me an airplane ticket to Hawaii. I'm set, people. All right? I'll find myself there. I'll be inspired and motivated all my life. I won't need anything else. I can live in the beach, on the beach. But that's not what it's all about. It's not just about me. It's about me working for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
It's about me developing for the purposes of God.
Amen.
It's not about you, although it is. See, there's an opportunity always before us. There's always an opportunity for us to develop. Question is, what for? My mom used to say all the time, don't worry about it, you'll learn it on the way.
Right.
Do not worry about it. You don't have to be ready. You don't have to be all packed and have everything that you need. You'll learn it on the way. It'll become evident as you walk. Now, the disciples sought the mission and they found it. What's interesting is that it happened naturally. It wasn't that they were looking at a map of a treasure, right? This is how they found it. Jesus says, go and wait. And they waited. Now that's easy, right? Go and wait. Yeah, right. I have other ideas. Why don't we just do? Right? My previous pastor in Kentucky, he was preaching one time and he said, this is how we do things. You know, you're supposed to do, get set, get ready, set, and go, right? We do this. We get and go. Right? We just want to just go. But what happened to them is that they were told to wait and they waited. And I tell you, they were surprised. They were surprised because all the doubts that they had in their minds, remember when they were there, they worshiped God and some doubted? Even after Christ had resurrected, there were still doubts in the mind. When they went to Jerusalem, something happened. Something happened there that let them know that something was going to happen in their lives. Transformation. They were going to be transformed in their journey of faith. Now, we're in chapter 5, but if we rewind just a tad, in chapter 4, they were speaking to the people and they encounter the resistance, right? You know, there's a lot of resistant movements nowadays. The resistant movement back then was with the leaders of the church. It sounds like a TV series. I could label it The Resistance, right? Okay. This is what it says in chapter 4. The priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them, much annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is resurrection of the dead, contrary to what they believe. So they arrested them. You see, that's the setting. There was resistance. Whenever God is doing something, there is
resistance.
Right? If God is doing something, there will be
resistance.
Okay, only three people got that one. All right, maybe you need to come and really acknowledge that, okay? Maybe it is important for you to say it so that you can get it ingrained in your head. Because this is what happens in our journey of faith. Praise God. Right? I mean, I know you've experienced that literally. Whenever God is doing something, there is resistance. You see, the power of the religious state and the status quo was against the disciples. And they were like, and now what? Now they find themselves in that fight, in a fight with the system. And the systems ask, by what power or by what name did you do this? Right? By what power or by what name did you do this? They had just healed somebody. They had just healed somebody. Think about it. They had just gone to this one place and done something good. And their question is, who told you? Who told you you could do this? So here's the crux of the matter. It's always a matter of authority and power. It's always a matter of authority and power. Now, I wonder if you have met resistance in your faith walk in your life. I wonder if that's happened to you. Now, moms, Mother's Day today, right? Moms. I wonder if you have faced resistance in your role as a mother. Huh?
Yes.
Single person? I wonder if you have met resistance in the culture and the society. Young person? And young persons? I wonder if you face resistance in your daily walk. You see, this is the natural way of our world. There's always somebody, there's always something, even in ourselves, that is going to resist the power of God. Whether it is your journey of faith or your daily walk, we're going to face it. One way or another, we're going to face this resistance. And there's always resistance when you're going to catch a wave. Have you ever seen, I showed some pictures the other day, right? Have you ever seen how the wave develops? There is water moving from the deep, and it's coming forward towards the shore, right? And what happens is that the water that is on the shore, it starts to move this way. And the water that is coming from offshore starts to go like this, right? And if you are here, and you're trying to go there, and the water is coming this way, what are you facing? Resistance. And that's why you have to paddle. You better paddle, right? Because if you don't paddle and get ahead of the resistance, guess what's going to happen? All this water is going to hit you, right? So in face of resistance, the lesson is, battle. Right? Face of resistance, what do? If you're static, if you're not doing anything, guess what's going to happen?
You're
going to get pounded. You better paddle. And this is what Jesus says. Go to Jerusalem, right? And figure out how you're going to have to paddle now and from now on. And you're going to have to wait for it. Perhaps this is helpful to hear the response of the disciples in verse 11 in chapter 4 to those who are providing the resistance. Here's what they say. Jesus is the stone rejected by you, the builders, and it has become the cornerstone. Now, in the disciples' response, there's this implication. Jesus faced resistance. Right? He was rejected. He was put aside. He was dismissed. He wasn't wanted. So if you have felt that way sometime in your life, you're in great company. Hello?
Amen.
You're in a great place. Because it says that this Jesus, with all the rejection, became the cornerstone.
Amen.
Right? Now the response from the disciples is an acknowledgement of that fact that there is resistance. And the people that questioned the disciples were questioning more than just the facts. They are questioning, again, the authority and the power to do what they were doing. And this is why it's considered a fight. There's always going to be questions. It's a struggle against the system. And don't worry, people. Man, I got another hour. I got another hour to go on Mother's Day.
Do it.
Yeah. Now you may ask, and we're going to develop this all the way through. Who's the system? Right? I think it's a logical question. Who's the system? If we're in a fight against the system, who's the system? So, in this here text, I think I sounded like Charles Stanley there. We find the disciples brought to the religious leaders for the second time. So in chapter 5, they're brought back in. The first time that they were brought in, they were told not to do what they were doing, right? They had cured a person, and they took that opportunity to announce why and how they were doing it, right? They were witnessing. And they were brought in and told, don't do that. Because that's against our power and our authority. So even if they had done something good, and they had taken the advantage to make Jesus famous, they were objected to. And they were questioned. Now we have experienced that here in Mount Air. Hello?
Yep.
Okay, I'll give you a minute. Think about it. Okay? And I'm not talking about recently. I'm talking about throughout its history of this congregation, we have experienced that. With pet people, with cert people, just to be pushed, just to be bullied, because somebody didn't like it. And some of you know, right? Some of you know that even in our neighborhood, there are voices saying, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. You see, that's the system. And like today, you know, the squeaky wheel gets
oil.
The oil, right? So people take that approach. I'll be the squeaky wheel, and I'll complain. I'll complain to the police, to the mayor, to the city council. I'll complain to everybody so that you are shut up. So that you cannot say what you set out to do. There is resistance. That's part of the system. Imagine that. We're giving. We're doing good things for the benefit of the community. But we're doing it under whose name and under whose authority?
God.
Right?
God.
That's why there is resistance. We're doing it on the authority of Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and for, you see, that's the purpose, for God's glory. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that there's an indescribable joy that comes out of that. It's weird how it works. Can you have joy when you're facing resistance?
Yes.
Can you be happy about it?
Yes.
Well, I tell you, my experience has been that when I paddle, I catch the wave. Right?
Right.
When you paddle, you are going. And when you are going, there is joy. Even in the midst of all the resistance of all the water around you. I'm sorry I haven't to talk about surfing, but that's in my mind lately. I don't know why. But there is joy. And when you finish the way, you're like, wow, I want to do that again. I don't know what it was. I can't put it into words, but I want to do it again. I wish I could express to you how it feels. But I want to do it again. And yesterday, I saw that again. Right? Ain't it weird that you have people coming together to carry food for 5-6 hours? How long was it? Yeah, 5 hours. Yeah, 6 hours. Just putting food here, bringing things out. I mean, ain't that weird? That post office food drive. You see, being the representation of God on earth, right? Incarnational ministry. Being the representation of God on earth will bring joy, but it's going to take work. Right? We talked about that, but earlier in the morning, there was other folks that were building a ramp across the street from the house. Right? Maybe you saw it on the way in, maybe you didn't. Just look across the entrance of the church. That's ramp that was built in about 4 hours in the morning, and Dave is feeling it now. Right? It's hopefully, and Stan, I know he is, right? That was built so that we can continue to do more work. Right? And when I came to inspect it, right? Yeah, I came at the end when it was all done. They were joyful. I didn't see anybody that was sad. And as I was pulling bags out of the van, I didn't see anybody that was sad. I didn't see anybody that was down. There's something about it. We'll learn it on the way, people. We'll learn it on the way. You just have to experience it. The experience is not just for the mountaintop place. It's also in the valley. It's also in the trenches. Great, we have another half hour. So who's the system, you might ask? We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Can you hear it? We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. See, it comes from everywhere. Comes from schools, from the public space, from the cyber space, from the home space, everywhere. Don't teach in his name. And then we all wonder why there are shootings in schools. People that they're walking around without hope, seeking answers on the internet rather than on scripture. Rather than looking above. Oh, I know. It's because we live in a modern... Wait a minute. Oops, that's not right. In a postmodern world. You see? That's the excuse. We live in the time of technology. Now everything is at hand. We have the solution. So, you have a problem here, just ask Google, Alexa, right? They'll tell you. Or ask your 12-year-old daughter. She'll give you counsel. I used to tell my daughter, you know, why is it that whenever you have an issue in school or with somebody in relationships or whatever, you don't come to ask us and you ask your 12-year-old friend. Is that, I mean, does that make sense? That, like, that's where the wisdom is? Postmodern world. So look at what the postmodern world has given us. So this system, in reality, is the present that wants to take over. I'll say that again. Okay, I think we need to hear this. The system is the present that wants to take over. It doesn't matter what era it is. It doesn't matter what time it is. If it was the medieval times, if it was the modern times, your Renaissance, it doesn't matter what it is. It's the present that wants to take over. The system is that which is wrong with the world. The system is what wants to take over. Fighting the system means bringing the statement that the disciples brought back then to the present. Right? The response of the disciples back then, we need to bring it to this present. We must obey God rather than any human authority. Amen. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you, the leaders, the authorities of the present, had killed by hanging on a tree. And God exalted him at his right hand as the leader and savior, that he might give repentance to the world, not only Israel, right? And forgiveness of sins. And we here at Mount Air are witnesses to these things. Hallelujah, right? We here in this place, in this present, are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who
obey.
Oh, say that again, brother, please.
Obey.
Those who
obey.
Pow. Right? Pow. The gospel. Two or three sentences. Those who obey God. What do you think? So what's your witness? The As we fight the system, we need to make ourselves aware that it's not in our power that this happens. It happens in the power of the Holy Spirit of God working through us for His glory, for God's glory. Amen. As we get ready, we're going to be singing.